Welcome, welcome, welcome to season number 3 of the Tech Hustle.
Yeah.
What up, D-Hustle? How you doing, player?
It's beautiful weather today.
Yo, guess what? We out in these streets, player.
Miami, stand up.
Miami, stand up. Wynwood, we taking a look outside, looking beautiful.
Indeed.
But it's a little too cold, though.
A little too cold.
We got a special guest for our special segment that we're introducing in season number 3, which is Backstage with Bobby D. We have our first guest, Catalina Pina. What up, Catalina? Welcome to the stage.
So excited.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, welcome to the Tech Hustle. And definitely appreciate D-Hustle holding it down in the cut, right? You got us, player?
Yes, sir.
All right. Catalina, what's going on? How you doing?
I am doing fantastic.
I like that.
I feel just so connected so excited for this.
Nice.
And I'm so grateful that you had the vision to do this.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And then I get to like start my day.
Yeah,
like
that's how we started, bright and early.
Yes.
So, yes. Catalina, give us a quick introduction to yourself. Let us know where you're coming from and some good intro here.
Ooh, this is an interesting question because I'm starting kind of a new chapter today. Super new, super just out of nowhere almost. So I'm really excited that I'm starting it with you because in this new chapter, I think it's all about community and being mm-hmm. held and being supported and being uplifted.
I like that. Take a moment to appreciate these things here.
For sure. Remember. And that's what's up, Catalina. And like you said, this journey that you and I have been on mm-hmm. Goes way back to like the days when I was holding it down at Twitter. Can you believe mm-hmm. that? That's mm-hmm. like 2017, wow. D-Hustle.
It's insane. Yeah. It's crazy. So long ago.
And one thing that this Backstage with Bobby D, my main goal is to travel the country and have a conversation with a lot of people that I've encountered during my career mm-hmm. And definitely get a chance, number one, to shine some light on you.
Hey.
Because big ups to everything that you've been doing. And we're definitely going to cover all that. But also just talk about our intersection in terms of where we've met each other, what we've worked on together, and definitely the impact that you've had in a lot of people's lives. Because a lot of people don't know that me on the sideline observing, I've been rooting for you since day one. And definitely want to continue to encourage you because you're impacting people's lives, including myself, because we'll get into that story. But first of all, just big shout outs, and I wanted to give you some roses. Give her a round of applause. Big round of applause for Catalina. Yeah, for sure. So talking about your journey, and I know that you've started your own company. We'll get into the moment of shouting that out. Yeah, you know how we hustle, de-hustle,
Stop
right?
The press.
Hey.
So tell us a little bit in terms of just your impact in starting tech and getting into tech and more or less just where that journey started for you.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I think first, before starting, I just want to take a moment to really acknowledge that I haven't really shared my full story a lot because I think there's a lot of fear sometimes about sharing the things that you've been through, and big ups to you because I think that you've been a really safe space for me to just open up and, you know, like share really big things that are happening. But yeah, you know, I think my journey really got started in tech was when I was 9 years old, and you know, my life changed in a really drastic way. I was living in Bogota, Colombia at the time, and like, you know, great life, amazing life. Like I loved it, you know, miss it to this day. But one day, you know, my dad kind of walked away and that completely shattered everything. And, you know, my dad was very present and he was very loving. So it wasn't like he wasn't there for me. So that really was really difficult. And so to go from having so much support, so much love, being in a marriage, household, to having family around and having to basically move everything in 6 months and move to a new city while you're by yourself.
Yeah.
Now in a single mother household who's working all the time and you're by yourself a lot. Like that's where my story started. Because I quickly realized that the environment that I was in and the places that I was in weren't safe for me. And they weren't safe for a really long time. And so for me, really getting out was the only option.
Right.
And I was, you know, I've been leaving my house since I was 9 years old because to find safety and to find experiences. And, you know, I think that's really hard for a lot of people to hear, and a lot of people maybe can relate. And, you know, for those people, I'm sorry that you can relate to that because it's really hard. But the reason why I start with that, and I've never shared that, so like,
well, thank you for sharing with us.
So shout out to single moms out there who's doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God, my mom's the best. My mom is the best.
And thank you. This space is all for you in terms of just feeling safe. So we really do appreciate you.
Sure. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And the reason why I start with that is because I have been doing this for, I'm 33 now, so like 24 years. Mm. It's almost 25 years. Of just getting out of my own comfort zone because of I had to. So I want people to understand that that's a skill. It's not something that people are born with. And me, I was just very exposed to it very early on. So for me, it just became my norm. So after Houston, I stayed there till I was about 17, and then I got a scholarship to go to Nebraska.
Shut up, stop the press.
Full ride, okay. Hey girl. And then after that, I didn't know anything about tech. I didn't even know you could get a job. Like, I didn't know you could choose your job. I thought jobs found you somehow. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Like, the things that you, you know, the jobs found you, right? Like, the people you met, they just found you, and then you get a job. And so through that, I was able to land an internship and then at, like, a tractor publishing ad company because it was in Nebraska, so it was agriculture, which is insane. Like,
big
I was like,
Nebraska.
And then I had the decision of becoming a admissions counselor. I had the decision of becoming a like a tractor ad salesman.
I don't know about you, but I'm hearing that she's blowing up.
Like,
she's on fire right
what's
now.
What's going on? And then I had the option to go be a pharma rep for Johnson & Johnson. And so for me, it was a purely, I loved being an admissions counselor. I did a lot of DEI work in university. I was like, yes, if we can get more people of color to college, like, why not do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Catch was it paid like $20,000.
Mm.
And I was like, ooh. And then, you know, looking at my other two options, I was like, well, which one is more recognizable, right? Yeah. Johnson & Johnson. And I was like, I need to go with the name.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And so it wasn't a decision that I made, like, intentionally. It was just like, I need to get out of that, right? Mm. It was a survival decision. And then from there, I went to, I worked there for about 2 years, and then I decided to make my switch into recruiting because I wanted to help people.
That's what's up.
And then I made my switch into recruiting. I got fired.
That's all
and
right.
And that begins a whole new chapter for me where...
It happens to the best of us. Right.
I mean, but did it happen 3 times or 4 times? Because I think I have the record.
Live and learn.
I definitely lived and learned. But then, you know, pretty soon after that, I worked for companies like, I was able to get introduced to Facebook, Twitter, where we met, and then Andreessen Horowitz, and then Asana. And after getting fired 4 times, I, you know, was in a point in my life where I was like, you know what? Like, all the feedback I'd heard was, basically you're too much, right? Like, you don't know the rules. And I just got so tired of people like hating on me for me, because of my job, not because I was doing anything wrong, but just because of who I was. And I was like, I want to work with myself. I think I'm great. I'm awesome. So why not do it? And I started my company.
Ooh, big shout out to her.
Yeah.
They should do what she's saying is if you fall, you can always get up.
Facts.
And believe in yourself and love yourself enough to like really trust yourself that what you're choosing and what is being called to you is the right thing. Because I had no idea how to start a company. I just was like, okay, I guess I'm going to do this. Like, the first 6 months, I didn't have an LLC. And didn't get incorporated until then. Got myself into a lot of debt because I bootstrapped and I thought that was the only way. And it wasn't good debt, right? It wasn't like a loan or anything like that. It was credit cards.
Yeah.
And I had never had debt. So I was like, okay, cool. But please don't do that. But please, whoever's listening, do not do that. And thankfully, I can say now 4 years later, I'm debt free. So my investment paid off. Hey!
Investing in yourself. That's key right there. Appreciate you.
And now in 4 years, you know, after I made that decision, I was able to land some pretty big clients. Nice. To date, we've served about 5,000 people. We've been able to, you know, have 1,000 hours of coaching and about $6 million generated in new offers and salary raises.
Say that again. Say that again.
$6 million.
Big round of applause for Catalina. Very much. And this is like listening to your story and understanding where you started from, being able to get to a point where other organizations just didn't see your value. Mm. And then you believing in yourself, mm-hmm. even though that first ledge did require you to get debt. But then afterwards, just think about this impact, $6 million in impact and mm-hmm. people's lives that you have directly influenced. Give her another round of applause. Bring that up. Yeah,
and
for sure.
Not to like brag too much, uh-huh. but it's that I know of.
Exactly, right?
Because people go and get, and you know, I help them really think through their process.
Yeah.
And they don't, sometimes they come back. They don't come back. So, yeah. you know, I don't know exactly what that number truly is, but I love that if someone meets with me or one of my coaches or attends one of my talks or workshops, like they come away with something. Maybe
for
it's
sure.
not just financial, but everything. So, you know, that's a good number to throw out there.
Yeah, 100%. And all she's saying is that the number is actually up and it's higher than what you think it is.
I think so. And then we have a goal to actually generate $1 billion in salary raises and new offers over the course of the company lifetime.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
it's really important for people of color specifically to black and brown people specifically to have access to economic mobility and career fulfillment.
100%. And let me tell you, this is something that I've always known Catalina for, is representing being an Afro-Latina.
Hey.
And definitely appreciating the contributions you make, because our first encounter at Twitter was like, yo, first of all, who's that over there? Because she looked like she's like familia right there. It's like, yo. And then seeing what contributions you were actually making were truly impactful mm-hmm. to me. Because during that time in 2017, I believe it is, I was really at the keyboard and I was just going extra hard on this idea of like becoming this elite engineer, right? And then I really changed my focus because it was like I was with these blinders just focusing on code. But then when I looked around me, I didn't see anybody look like me, right? And then you're one of the first people that I was like, yo, let's link up and see what we can do about, you know, increasing diversity and or impacts that I can have directly. Mm-hmm. So my question is like, how did you feel about that being in Silicon Valley in the industry and just understanding your impact to the next generation and ultimately like the results?
So first of all, thank you for seeing me, because I don't think I saw myself for a really long time. So that question really is a retroactive reflection versus like an intentional thing. I just wanted like... I was like, I want to just like be present so that people have access. Like that was what I was thinking, but I wasn't thinking that I was impacting people in such deep ways. And like, you know, some of the people that I helped hire at Twitter, they now have been in tech for, you know, almost 10 years. And it's insane to think about, and like what that means for their livelihoods, their financial stability, and their just mental stability, and like what they're able to do, the experiences that they're able to create with like their families and themselves and their friends. And like, I when I stop to think about it, I'm like, that is what it's about, right? I
100%.
Just want people to, at the end of the day, to be so connected to themselves, so aware of what they want, that a job is like a conduit to getting the life that they dream of, right?
Facts.
Not something that they feel like they have to go to every day, that they're really hating. And so many people out there are just in that right now.
Yeah, 100%. And like I said, actually, the other day we was chatting up about an old picture that I seen. Check this out, D-Hustle. This is the crew right here. This is Blackbirds 2018. And during that era, we were actually getting ready to go to NSBE, I believe, one of the conferences that Catalina and I got to work at or not work, but more or less supporting Twitter. And I was looking for this picture because I was like, yo, this right here represented that time for me, and, mm-hmm. and how much I felt like the influence that we could have on the industry, and also the people that were going to come and work at Twitter, mm-hmm. And how much that would change people's lives, like you said. Because mm-hmm. I see one cat in there, the tall guy in the back, Teo. What's up, Teo? Ayo. Big shout out to Teo. What's up, hey. Man?
He's actually yeah. my birthday twin.
Is he?
He is.
That's what's up.
December 15th, I always message him, I'm like, Teo, uh-huh. happy birthday, twin.
That's what's up. And Teo is like one of the first black interns that we hired at Twitter. And every time I see this picture, when you showed it to me, it just brought me back to those moments. And you just didn't know how much of an impact it had to me. So I definitely want to let you know, like, scenes mm-hmm. like this just takes me back to a time where I was very grateful for my opportunity to work at a company like Twitter, mm-hmm. but also being able to be on these streets and talk about it and see the influence and see the growth yeah. of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, big shout outs to Teo and everybody in the shout picture there.
Teo,
yeah.
I don't know you, but shout out.
we're going to pull up on him. We're going to San Fran, and I guarantee yeah. you we're going to have a good conversation with Teo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I love that.
Tell me a little bit about, in general, your efforts as a career coach and challenges that you face or that you kind of like highlight to your mentees mm-hmm. or people that are in your coaching program.
Yeah, for sure. So it's really interesting. I was like, how am I going to weave this in? But that picture you showed of me, and I was smiling, and you know, I was just like next to you, and I was looking at that picture. And there's a lot of people in that picture that really traumatized me at work. Mm. And so a lot of the experience I talk about with my clients is so that they don't go through the same thing. So, you know, that was a really hard team for me to work in. Because it was very much about me. And there was really a lot of comments made in that moment, in that team about just very off, like comments that should not have been made. And I literally went into like a free state until I left, like 6 months in. And I talk about this with my clients, because I think it's really important to recognize, is the team around you supporting right. you or is it hurting you? And so many people are on teams that are hurting them. And at the very least, it should be neutral.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I made it my mission to really help people not get stuck in jobs just because they think they can't do better. And basically, if they... you know, they can't really see a way out. Like, I try to help them, you know, take that first step, because I think once you take a first step into a better, like, soil or better ground, like, you're like, oh, wow, this feels so nice.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, your job can feel nice. Your job can feel great.
Yeah. And the thing that I enjoy hearing this story is that the help that you give into your clients as a coach is like given life experience, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of mentees that I have are the first time that they talk to an mm-hmm. engineer, first time they talk to a black engineer. Mm-hmm. But then mm-hmm. it's also the first time that they hear some of these stories, right? Mm-hmm. Because number one, it's like, oh, Twitter, everybody wants to work there. But mm-hmm. there are always some challenges you have, not mm-hmm. just with the organization, but with your teammates, management. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the right structure around you, it doesn't matter that you work at Twitter, you're still not going to grow, like you said, plant mm-hmm. that seed, right? So it's really enlightening, and definitely I hope the audience caught this, is like you want to make sure that you're working in an environment that provides value, not just you providing value, mm-hmm. but they provide value to you.
Say that right? again, because I don't think mm-hmm. they understand
that. Was,
say that
yeah,
again.
It's like really just thinking that. big shout outs to our third Ray member, Raymond. Don't call him Ray Ray. What up, player?
Just dropping jumps. Hold on.
I'm going to steal your spotlight, player, just for a little bit. And what I'm really getting to is that I don't want the audience and our listeners to get confused that, hey, just because a title or a company name that you have to basically be in that ringer, mm-hmm. right? Or mm-hmm. or constantly just being brutally, you know, unsatisfying in your role, mm-hmm. is that the company should be providing value to you as much as you're providing value to mm-hmm. them, right? And as mm-hmm. soon as you realize that you're only the person that's feeding or pouring into the cup, that means it's time for you to go find some other cups to pour into, sure. right?
Absolutely. You know, I think sometimes that's really hard for people to see, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll speak for myself kind of in that story. Like, I went into a free state. And because of my childhood, like, I just knew how to do that. And I didn't know how to get myself out. And, like, So I don't think if someone hadn't reached out, I wouldn't have left, because I didn't realize that I had a choice to leave, right? It was the one time in my life where I was like, I can't leave, because, you know, I had experienced homelessness when I was younger, a lot of hardship, low income hardship. And so for me, I was like, I can't leave, because where am I going to go? Like, I don't have, you know, there's no offers waiting for me, you know? And so I felt very stuck. And then, you know, LinkedIn actually popped up.
Big shout outs to LinkedIn.
And I advocate for LinkedIn, like, I think for the rest of my days, because and just networking in general, and LinkedIn is like an amazing place to do this, because I got a message from Andreessen Horowitz, someone who worked there. And that someone is like Nigel Robinson. Love him.
Big shout outs.
Love him so much to this day. And he was telling me afterwards, he was like, and this is the importance of having people that look like us in the room, because he was a black recruiter as well. I think he's also Latino as well. I don't know if he identifies as Afro-Latino, but we'll just leave that there. But he purposely was looking for somebody who had the expertise of a recruiter, but also could reflect the students that he was seeing. And he found me. He found me on LinkedIn. Like, that's crazy. And so for y'all that don't know, Andreessen Horowitz is a VC that funds, you know, like big names like Twitter and Meta and all of these companies. And they hired like maybe 100 people. And like, I swear to you that as soon as I got hired there, my life changed, because it was, everybody was like, wow, you work there. And to this day, there's two things that people are just like, wow, about, which is super interesting to me. Nebraska, they're like, what are you doing? What did you do there? Like, what? Like, it doesn't matter who. It's like, who? What did you do in Nebraska? And the second is Andreessen Horowitz. It's a level of like prestige that I imagine only like that comes from prestigious places, right? Like the Ivy Leagues, like big, like really top companies. And it was the first time I'd ever experienced that. And I am very thankful, because I went from a place that was not feeding me at all, and that I could not get myself out of, and literally got a message from someone who was looking for me, who again saw me and was like, yes. And plucked me out. And that was the best soil I could have gone to, because that was where my life started to really change. And I started to take ownership of who I was. Again, big shout outs to Nigel, because he saw me and he coached me and he was like, you're amazing. Like, I don't know what we're talking
about. Shout out to Nigel taking out of Nebraska.
Yes.
I still can't get over the Nebraska shit. But you know, I want to interfere. What's in Nebraska?
Actually,
how's the weather out there?
Nebraska is very cold. So this is a good story to tell. So for those of you who are in college and are listening to this and are like, oh my God, how am I going to get to tech? Right? How am I going to get to all these companies? I used to give tours in the snow in like February for like, I think like I worked there for like 20 hours. Wow. So for 20 hours of my week.
Chuck into the snow.
I was like, taking people through the snow, like a tour guide doing that. I was getting paid $7.75 an hour.
Wow.
And to me, that was a lot of money. To me, that was so much money. Like, and I was like, okay, well, at least I can eat. And I would treat myself to Chipotle, and I would treat myself maybe once a month to guac. Like, that's how, dire it was. But I was so grateful for that job. But I think about it, I'm like, what? Like, I'm in Miami. I'm in a tank top. Like, you know, this is 12 years later.
12 years later.
So
it down.
Don't give up, right? Sure. Like, don't let your current circumstances dictate your future ones. Because, again, like, if I had given up 12 years ago, I would have stayed as a tour guide in Nebraska in the snow, right? And instead, I was like, you know what? And how I've had done prior in my childhood, like, I was like, there has to be something out there that's better than this.
Yeah.
And that's more aligned. Let me not say better, that's more aligned, because I think that sometimes you get caught up in this better mentality because of the brand name or because of the money or because of this or because, and so it creates like a FOMO kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think you really have to go in and ask yourself, what does this feel like to me? And in Nebraska, like, I felt very isolated. I felt very alone. And I was like, I don't belong here. I know, like, this is great, and I'm grateful.
I don't belong in Nebraska.
I mean, people love it. There's people who will be Nebraskans for life.
One person that said, "Yo, we should go to Nebraska."
So actually, though, I will say, if you ever want to experience the coolest thing, and one thing Nebraska like really helped me experience was a Husker football game.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
And so it is like the thing to do.
Yeah.
And I, because of my tour guiding, right, I was able to be a football tour guide. So I went from snow to the stadium.
Yeah.
And I was talking to all these high school kids about football. I don't know anything about football. I was just like, okay, and so here's like the gym and all this. But the cool thing is I got to go on the field with the players because I was a tour guide, because I was showing them the experience. And I got to experience what I'm sure like football players experience of 80,000 people like looking up at you.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you're in the middle of that. And so I shared that story because had I not trekked through the snow, literally, I also wouldn't have gotten that opportunity.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
A lot of people do not understand that like what you're doing right now could open doors that you would have never even asked for, because that was never a dream of mine. That was never a thing I wanted to do. But to this day, it's one of the coolest experiences of my life.
You know what? That explains a lot, because Catalina is also one of those that does public speaking mm-hmm. on stage. And if at a beginning you were standing in front of 80,000 people being that confident, right? You're like, that's why you can get on these stages and be, you know, killing it. So the other thing that I want to mention in terms of our journey together, mm-hmm. Catalina and I, is that we've had some really cool partnerships with some clients. And one thing that I've always admired about your abilities is being able to get in front of people and really mm-hmm. be effective and mm-hmm. really relate, connect. And sometimes I always wonder, like, where does that story start from, and how do you build that confidence for that? So what do you feel about that?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's confidence that actually made me do that. No, I don't think so. It's necessity. It was necessity. So when you come from an unsafe environment, and, you know, thank you so much for giving me this platform, and things happen when they have to, because my answer to that question would have been very different a few years ago. But now I feel really vulnerable to share my story. I was not safe. I was not a safe child. So, and I was not in a safe environment. And so the only place I could turn to for safety was strangers at one point in my life. And I'm going to share a story that I've never really shared, but I'm going to share it.
Exclusive here.
Exclusive.
On the Tech Hustle.
So I was living with my dad at the time, and he did not care. And to the point where I had to go out in my apartment complex and actually just be like, okay, I need to find somebody to eat.
Mm.
And I was able to make friends with like a family like right across.
Is this
and
in
like,
Nebraska?
No, this is in Texas.
Texas, okay.
But not Nebraska. But I was able to make friends with like a family that like literally took me in, and took me and my sister and then my mom in, and we became really good friends. And like, so to me, I was like, wow, the power of strangers. Mm. Like, strangers can be very powerful if they are willing and able to fulfill a need of yours, and all you need to do is ask.
For sure.
And so that's the origin of that story, right? It wasn't because of confidence, it was out of necessity. And now it has grown into a really beautiful gift, and that I'm able to teach people, because a lot of people get so scared, right? Because a lot of people have had the opposite experience of only the family is safe, you know, the community is not. And I wanna, you know, challenge those people to be like, not everyone is going to help you, and it's going to feel deeply uncomfortable when you hear a no.
Yes.
And when you hear those yeses,
it's a relief.
It's a relief, right? Because the help won't come in the ways that you expect it to, but it does. It does come. Like, never did I expect to be on this podcast. Never did I expect to, like, be on a football field in Nebraska. Never did I expect to, like, Nebraska work for all these companies. Like, never, right? And all of that happened because of me having a conversation with someone.
Yeah, for sure. And let me say, these stories are really, number one, appreciative that you feel safe enough to talk to them, bring them up. But really to the audience, just listen to this journey, because like you said, it's like most people don't realize what snow you had to trek through to get to where you are right now. And it's something that is always, when you start to hear the backstory, backstage with Bobby D, it empowers me even more, right? And also I look at you even in a brighter light, because it's like, I even did not go back that far to really understand the struggle and or the accomplishments. So big shout outs, big round of applause to Catalina. And for sure, I want to say thank you so much for those stories and give us some inspiration. Before we close this out, the thing that I really want to give a shout out is to your company and yes. talk to us a little bit about it, about the services you offer and all that good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So...
Ah, there we go. Raymond, check out these nuggets, player.
Check out the nuggets.
Love this. Love it. So, yeah, my company is Catalyst Creation, and it is Catalyst Creation. Fantastic. It came to me on a plane. It was great. And it really focuses on empowering underrepresented folks to really create career fulfillment and financial freedom on their terms. And I have a model that is business to business, so B2B, which means that if you want to work with me, it's your organization should hire me. And the reason I do that, I was very adamant about doing that, is because I don't believe coaching is something that you should pay for. Like, if you can help it, right? I think if there is no way you can get out wherever you are and you need a coach, like, definitely pay for it. But if you can get it through your company, either by, you know, having them host a workshop or having them bring in coaches, or if you're part of a student community, like a university, and you're like, hey, like, I want coaching, like, let's bring this person in. You know, I think that's the key, because you're putting your resources to work for you.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
And so for me, how I help support, there's two ways, right? One is through coaching support. So I will go in and provide coaching support on demand, to organizations that need it for their clients, right? And then the second piece is keynoting, speaking, panels, all the things where I can share my story and, you know, help coach as well through workshops. And it's very important to me that when people leave my workshops, they understand and know themselves more.
Because
something that I haven't mentioned is that I'm a self-love advocate. And like, I truly believe getting to a job you love, getting to a life you love, starts with self-love. And self-love starts with questions. Why do I do this? What is interesting? What about this? Like, what does my day look like? Right. And my workshops are full of those questions, because I think that the more you ask those questions to people, the more it forces them, and or not forces them, that's a really harsh word, but invites them, sometimes worse, but invites them into themselves. And it's like, hey, like, you have a story to tell. So to whoever's listening, like, you have a story to tell. And if you don't know where to start, start asking yourself, what is my story?
Roger that. Good shout out to Catalina.
Some gem right
there. We go. Give it to her.
A gem. I love it.
All right. Well, Catalina, I want to say thank you so much for being our first official guest for Backstage with Bobby D.
No,
and very much appreciate the journey. One quick story I want to tell you all before we jump off is Catalina was one of the first people that told me face to face, like, yo, I'm doing a disservice to our community if I don't come out here and talk this talk and be me, right? Be Bobby D out in public, right? And I want to say thank you so much for lighting that fire under me, because the path that I'm going on definitely is inspired by you, and you've been supporter since day one. So you already know. Welcome, 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 everybody. And appreciate you.
Can I say something to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think when... because I remember this Zoom call that we had, and you were like, I just, you know, I want to do what you're doing. And I'm like, do it. You know, do it. And I think sometimes we are seeking validation from somebody else who's done it before. Right. Who, like, is doing it. And the reality is, like, if you have something in your heart, if something is calling to you, it's like, I should do this, figure out a way to start. Even if you don't know anyone who's done it before, even if you're like, this is insane, like, start it. Because I would hate to think that if we hadn't met.
Facts.
And if we hadn't been in that Zoom call, that you wouldn't be here right now. Because what you're giving to the community is so valuable and so needed that, like, I would hate for that to be the story for someone else. Because that's the hard part about being a coach. You can't help everybody. You can't reach everybody.
Facts.
We try, but, you know, there's people who fall through the cracks. So, you know, if you're listening to this and, you know, someone sent this to you or you're just, you know, you found it on your own, like, just believe in yourself. Do it for yourself. Like, map it out for yourself. Validate yourself, because from there, that will create everything you're trying to do.
100%. Give Catalina a big round of applause. Oh my gosh.
I love her because she's got those gems.
For sure. All right, so let's cue up the closeout music. I want to say, first of all, thank you all for tuning in to Backstage with Bobby D. This is first of many episodes that I'm going to be traveling the nation, like I said, pulling up on all my peoples. And obviously, you see, I got some gems with me, right? I got a lot of people that I've had some really great encounters with, and I'm only inspiring you to achieve great things. D Hustle, how you feel about the episode, kid?
I feel great.
Yeah, I'm loving it, right?
Good. I got some gems, some Catalina.
For sure. Yeah.
Only here at the Tech Hustle, baby.
100%. So definitely thank you all for tuning in. Stay tuned because we got even more coming up. Holla at your boy. It's Bobby D.